All men suffer in their turn, and each must best decide how changed his life will be. Most will choose pretense, sight turned away, since facing pain is always seen as greater hurt. But some will make of others' hurt a salve for wounds still open. And this is the way I, King Sharia of Persia, am known to rule. I take lives, the better to protect my own. They die now, the better to mourn the life I lost before.
Father, tell me what you hide. Why you sit alone in the courtyard at dark and talk to the night?
I watch the moon for good dreams, no more.
I know already what happens with the king. It is just that I do not yet know why.
It is as well you do not. My duty as vizier is to do the king's bidding, and in such capacity, to his bed each fall of day, I'm instructed to bring a new bride. A bride for a single night, untouched before that time. 3 years it's been so, and now the whole city has been made cunning by fear. No further maidens can be found, whether they exist or are simply hidden.
Is it for your own life you fear, then?
If it's seen I have failed, I will need pay a price.
Yet none of this was due to your own failing.
I fear that's not a matter the king will take into account.
Father, I am untouched.
Daughter!
Take me to the king.
Shahrazad, no!
I am all he could want. Perhaps all he needs. You will see. I will win where others lose.
No. No! You are all the stars to me, sweet child. Even the day would be dark without your light.
He is a man only. Like any other.
No. Not like another. Promise me, child. Promise your father you'll put this thing from your mind.
Rise. You are welcome here.
My king.
Sit beside me. Shahrazad. Your father has cried into his beard since dawn, begging one thing, imploring another. He feels that you and I should never meet.
He does not trust your heart, my king.
I have no heart. It was buried with a faithless wife, now past.
Her hair, deep like a river about her head. Swans for eyes, and all the world, tranquility.
Yet how feels sorrow, my king, if you have no heart?
And in that beauty I did drown her.
You are not here for my sorrow, child, but for my pleasure. This you have been told.
It is rumored that the king's pleasure has now become all others' sorrow.
Choose your words carefully, little one. Your sole protection now is your beauty.
And if what I see in your eyes speaks true, my king, I am safe forever. Have I now then made your sorrow greater still?
What do you know of sorrows? You are but... how old?
18.
True sorrow has grey in its beard, child. It arrives late and remains.
Then tell me. Show it me. Make of my listening a comfort.
There is little time. At dawn. Sleep now. And I will keep you close.
Then you wish me dead? At dawn I go to the sword.
In this way your faithfulness is kept true. What we have felt this night shall be held between us for all time. It shall not wander.
Must death be the only measure of fidelity, then? Cannot love do the same?
Love is little more than the illusion it will last. Were that so, no man would ever stray from the garden of his own heart, for all would be within.
What pain did she cause, my king, that you must do this thing?
Sleep now, as I have said. At sunrise, you will not wonder any longer. You will know things that I do not, and will both pity and forgive what I have done to you. The deepest secret we keep from ourselves is the envy we feel towards the dead. And now I would rest.
My king, there is a story I would tell. It is of love and all things that matter.
I say I would rest. Child.
Then let me tell it to the air above your head, and only then attend. I will show my heart, as I have my body, a dream which will survive my morning fate. Listen then. In the tale I would tell, a handsome young merchant, Ghanim by name, one day travelling to the city of Baghdad on business, finds the taverns of the town full, and on the outskirts of the city, shelters for the night in a small cave. The night is dark and cold, and in his head he calls for sleep to come and relieve the discomfort of the hours ahead.
Where is sleep, that it would not join me tonight? It is as if... Hush, Gully. Keep even your thoughts still. Others enter this cold place. My cover shall not stretch to three, nor my company out of choice. When all is said, a merchant is a merchant. And these two look much like slaves. Slaves indeed, that leave behind them something of much greater worth.
And, calling on his courage, Ghanim edged his way towards the shadowy place where the slaves had been, and found a chest, banded with iron, a lock like a man's fist. The chest flew open, and gently folded in sheets of silk, there lay the sleeping form of a beautiful young maiden. Ghanim looked at her, and looked again, his eyes at once taken hostage by their own sight. And her face became for him the lawns of paradise, the taste of pomegranate, the thirst of leaves for rain. And the form stirred, lifted the face of heaven, and surrendered her eyes to his in helplessness.
Sir,
My name is Layla. And you have all the gratitude of my 16 years.
And so began a journey that would take them both into times and places yet undreamed. For in the palace of the Caliph, far from where they were...
My son, you have other wives. One fewer is not cause for such distress, surely.
A wife does not leave a caliph. Am I to be seen as a man that loses wives, then? Is that what you wish?
Am I to arrange a search?
This should not have come about. You, my mother, are keeper of the women. Yes, arrange your search. I would have her here.
From a cave made cold by the winds of time, Ghanim had taken Layla into the cave of his heart, a place that grew ever warmer with each day that passed. She was given a room at his house, made welcome by his mother. But though she was ever courteous, Ghanim already felt that in her there was little room for anything more than gratitude. Then one night, sensing his plight, Layla finally spoke the words that told him of both the best and the worst.
I have seen your eyes speak when I am near and have longed to answer them.
Then what prevents it? Do you doubt the call of my need?
No, not from the moment I first saw you. Ghanim, by giving my love to you, I would also condemn your life. I am not free to listen to what I feel. I belong elsewhere, to another who would make of any world we enter together a great storm that would destroy us both. For your life, I would willingly give my own. But that would not be enough to save you.
If there is love in you for me, then I would wait to the last day of my life, if at that time you would grant us both such tender honour. Yet you cannot give a reason why it should be as you say.
As long as we love solely with our eyes, there is a chance. For were we to vanquish caution and cross the bridge of dreams, all would most certainly be lost.
Nothing can win against what I feel. Why, were the Caliph himself to be the obstacle, I would not rest in my resolve to make you mine.
Ghanim, sweet man of my life, there is a sadder side yet to tell.
Dead? How can this be?
Oh, my son, I would give my eyes to make it otherwise.
The anger I felt at her going was... It was disguise. She was my life. Lady Raheel, you are sure of this?
The body had been molested by animals of the wild. But the clothing and jewelry were distinct. It was Layla, my son.
I do not wish to see her. Not if...
Leave all to me. It will be my personal task.
Instruct a messenger to find my guard and cease the search.
But the search has ceased as soon as the body was found.
Not your search, my mother. The one I ordered.
Open the door! Hurry up in there! Open the door now!
A moment! A moment!
You are Ghanim the merchant?
That is my name, yes.
Others here say that there is a maiden newly living under this roof and hesitant to show her face to those about. Bring her, Ghanim the merchant. We would see for ourselves.
In later years, Ghanim would find it hard to recall what he felt more deeply that day. Layla bound across a soldier's horse, disappearing from his sight. Or the slight, broken shape of his mother's body amid the ruins of the house that the soldiers put to fire.
Do you know what it was to feel that you might have perished? Answer!
I had never wished you pain. Nor would I ever.
If I obeyed my will, I would save you. But I am the Caliph. And I must do what others expect of me.
You must die. No wife can leave a caliph with impunity.
My lord, I did not leave. I was taken.
Huh?
I had thought it was your will.
How can this be?
I was taken from my chamber at night, seeing nothing. My head was covered, and I was carried away.
Where is the proof of this?
I have only the deed to tell. Is there nothing I can say to
Listen.
Save me?
I am not a man. I am a caliph. If I were to save you, I would oppose the tide in my people's heart. They have long regarded and will now demand that no wife can leave a ruler and survive. And that is all that will be seen. Not hair in which I lose my face, nor mouth that robs my own of words, only your end.
Then I am lost.
Greetings to you, old man.
You look hungered, sir. And weary, too.
Have you seen a band of soldiers pass this way? Days since. They would be riding hard.
Not since I have been sitting. But there was another. And of a sort, I fancy, that might better take your interest.
What kind of man? And what should he be to me?
He looked a slave.
You are the caliph's mother, good Lady Rahil. Can you not plead my blamelessness?
Layla, listen to me. True or no, we only have your word.
But what...
I am disposed to believe it true. But those who judge you will ask of matters for which you have no answer. Who took you from your chamber, and to what end?
How can I answer what I do not know?
There are but 3 more days to find solution. We must be swift.
You will help me, lady?
I will help you, but none must know of it save ourselves.
And by a distant roadway, Ghanim told his own tale of sorrow.
She was all the things to me that I had not imagined could exist.
And as he continued to speak, the hurt uncoiled. His sadness took flight, and in the space of heart so left, there came a fresh resolve. And the old man, gladdened by what he saw, took from beneath his cloak a small drum and began to play.
Attend only to what I now play for you. Close all beliefs, save those which will arise from listening. In the pictures it will make, a resolution will be found.
I see the palace, the caliph's palace, as if before my eyes.
See on, beyond the walls. What there?
There is betrayal.
Betrayal is at the heart of this.
And Layla is in danger.
Look on. There is a greater risk.
There is someone else.
That someone.
Hush, old man. The figures speak.
Raise your eyes, Jabir, and speak of what has been done.
It was as you instructed, Lady Rahil. We took her from her chamber in a chest.
And from thence?
To a cave, a darkened place where none visit. The clasp was tight, binding her life to the hours left.
You did not do this alone.
the other now feeds the earth, not a league from the cave itself.
You have done well, Jabir, and it shall be remembered by me. Go now,
my lady.
The slave, Jabir. He descends the back staircase. Go quickly and meet him at the lower landing, and if he has spoken to another, kill him too. Then wait. Another will use the stair this night.
If I do not reach her, old man, then all is over. For us both.
Listen, Ghanim the merchant. I am here to grant your wish. To the Caliph's palace I will deliver you. But there you must act alone.
Who are you? And why should you help me?
But no sooner were the words lost from his mouth than the augured strangeness came upon him. Arms that seemed to yearn for wings. All-seeing eyes without means to close. And abruptly, an ascending that left all land behind, the old man now forgotten. The space above, a sudden expanse within.
Leila, I have spoken to the Caliph this day, but his heart is set that can be no pardon.
Then when will I die?
And the music became a spinning, and the spinning a soaring, that took Ghanim ever further towards the place of meeting.
Leila, this day you will escape your fate. Beyond the palace walls awaits a rider. He will take you where you wish to go, and none shall follow.
Then, all at once, with trees and country suddenly gone, Ghanim found himself deep within the walls of the very palace that he sought, at the foot of a narrow stair.
Staircase. It will lead you to the guard who holds the horses, but you must be swift, child.
I do not understand.
Go Leila. Now.
Move, and your throat will feel this blade.
My son, I do not claim to know the reasons. Only that when entering the room I found her attempting to make escape. At the foot of the stairs, the man who now stands before you awaited her. But for the timely presence of the guard, they both would have made their way to the outer gate. Two tethered horses were later found.
Leila, you know this man. And Ghanim the merchant, what say you as final word?
With your consent, sir, it is nothing I would say. Rather, I would make music.
You dare to test my forbearance?
Only listen, my lord, then judge. It shall not tax time, that I do promise.
And from beneath his cloak, Ghanim took the old man's drum, and in a moment, what once were sounds made shapes. Across the floor of the great hall moved whispering shadows of the past.
You and I, then, noble slave. No one else shall know the secret of that night.
And everything was seen and known, no longer place for guile to hide.
Then wait. Another shall use this stair tonight.
And thereupon the Lady Raheel turned and fled the palace, her treachery revealed.
Scorpions against all who thwart my way. None shall ever know my pity nor forgiveness see. Merchant, consort, slave, and king, all shall one day know what this night has done to the Lady Raheel.
This then is the judgment of your ruler. That the man known as Ghanim the merchant shall be made free, to return from whence he came, no blame attached to thought or deed. And for my dearest wife, Leila, the sorrow of her husband, for deserting what he always knew her most to be. She shall again sit by my side, and all will be well again.
You have returned my life, Lord. But I cannot accept the gift. You have all my respect, Lord, my loyalty to the day I die. But I have not the love of a woman for you. Not before as your wife, and much less so now. I have been faithful in body, as was my nuptial pledge, but not in heart.
You refuse me?
You sleep, my king? The telling of the story did not disturb you.
I was not disturbed. What then of Layla?
Being a woman, as I am, I cannot say her fate, not knowing the true mind of a caliph.
There is something, then, that you do not know. He loved her, the caliph?
As desert will the rain.
Yet her love. Oh, we shall not know, then.
But every story demands an ending. Why else should they be told?
Two kinds of love, then. One demanded, with no choice granted. The other freely given, the heart alone left to decide. Is this not what the story tells? Then let Layla be free, and may her search continue for what she feels she needs to find.
And so it was. The caliph, made wise by his own sadness, made gift of his wife to her own longing. And thereafter, Ghanim and Layla lived gently in each other's company, a world within a greater one, for all the days that softly led them through their time.
It is dawn.
Dawn is already past, my king. The hour has gone.
Then you have survived the day, Shahrazad. Tomorrow, then.
My king.
Ghanim, the Thrall of Love, was the first in the series of Tales from the Arabian Nights, dramatized from traditional sources by Colin Hayden Evans. Shahrazad was Carolyn Backhouse, her father Simon Carter, and the king, Derek Jacobi. Ghanim was Michael Lumsden, Layla Moya Leslie, the Caliph Duncan Law, Raheel Mary Wimbush, the old man Geoffrey Banks, and the slave Richard O'Ryan. The music was composed by Sue Harris and played by Sue Harris and Stephen Hannigan. The series was directed at Pebble Mill by Nigel Bryant.